Let's pray. Lord, we come before you. We lift this time and this message up and we put it into your hands. We ask that you do your will with them. Whatever's from you, let it find a home in our hearts. And whatever's not, let it go its own way. In Jesus' name, amen. Ephesians 2:8. For by grace you have been saved through faith, that not of yourself. It is the gift from God. You know, I can remember running upstairs with my brother on Christmas morning, my feet barely touching the steps. I rose up, as Scripture says, with wings of eagles from the first floor to the second. Dad had set up the platform that the Lionel made its quick and familiar journey around every Christmas. The plastic houses made the same small village they did every year. And the tree came up right through the center of the platform. And all around the platform was the most beautiful sight a child could behold, boxes and boxes of neatly wrapped presents. There must have been 100 of them, or so it seemed. And I tore through the wrapping paper like a scared lost motorist tears through Baltimore. Had to do it. For months, I had repeatedly told my parents what I wanted. I'd even written a letter and sent it to a complete stranger who, as I understood it, would sneak into my house in the middle of the night on Christmas Eve and then eat my cookies. Even then, I took my cookies very seriously. There was an implied quid pro quo relationship between me and the red-suited flying hobo that broke into my house. I would be nice, well, at least as nice as I could be, and leave him cookies, and in exchange, he would give me whatever I wanted. Seemed fair at the time. However, there were times when it appeared that Santa didn't hold up his end of the deal. I occasionally found myself a bit disappointed by what I found inside those boxes. How do you play with a pair of socks or a jacket? Or worse yet, school supplies? If there is a purgatory, and I'm not saying there is, it must have a special waiting room for people who give children school supplies on Christmas. At the time, I wasn't altogether sure why Jesus was born. But I was pretty sure that he did not come into this world so children would get school supplies instead of toys on his birthday. It's simple, fundamental theology. Such gifts seemed to be obligatory at Christmas. Every year, there they were. More obstacles than presents. They slowed me down from getting to what I wanted. And as I tossed each gift aside, my mother would say, "That is just what you needed." No, Mother, what I needed was a Hot Wheels racetrack with a battery-powered car launcher that would send my Hot Wheels around the track again and again. And not one of those cheap knockoff Aurora racetracks with the flimsy plastic cars that uses gravity instead of electricity. Mom didn't seem to understand that. I made it crystal clear to her which one of those I wanted, and I didn't get that one. I'm over it, but when I see Mom in heaven, this topic may come up. I can also remember getting money for Christmas and thinking I was being punished for some act of chicanery on my part. There were so many acts of chicanery to choose from. Money had no value to me. I couldn't play with it, and it didn't do anything. Hence, I didn't want it. And to top it off, as soon as she saw it, my mother said, "Give it to me. I'll hold it for you. You can use it when you go to Kennywood." Now, Kennywood is in June. In kid time, that's like telling me that if I'm good now, I'll be rewarded in heaven. Well, heaven schmeaven, I'll be good when I get close enough to actually see them pearly gates. Not before. I had no comprehension of value or of time or the dynamic that exists between those two things. But when June did roll around, it turned out I was really happy that someone had given me money for Christmas. As time passed, I even learned to appreciate the savings bonds I had been given for Christmas. When I got them, I had no idea of their value. I didn't even know what they were. I just knew they weren't what I wanted. Time and experience, life, changed my perspective. And life taught me that what I did not want was what I needed. For the past 2,000 years, men have looked at the gift from God laying in a manger in Bethlehem and have disregarded it because it's not what they wanted. It was what they needed. They looked for power, pleasure, wealth, health, and so many other things. And what they got from God was a savings bond. It took 30 years to fully unwrap this first Christmas gift. And when Lee had 3 years after that to figure out exactly what it was and what its value was, it wasn't a gift from God. It was the gift from God. This child was a savings bond from God Himself, which not only had great value when it was given, but its value would grow and compound every day until we cashed it in our date of temporal maturity. This gift was given so that we could have a life of purpose and a future of hope that the passing of time could not corrupt like it did with so many other disregarded gifts of Christmas's past. A savings bond is not what we wanted. In fact, this gift directly challenged what we wanted with every word He spoke to us. From the time He was a child until the time He died, beginning with, "I must be about my Father's business," and ending with, "It is finished. I know what I'm here to do, and I did it." The giver of this gift never asked us what we wanted for Christmas, because He knew exactly what we needed. The gift from God defined His own purpose and His own value when He said in Luke 19:10, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost." This is what the gift was given for. Now, a gift such as that has little value to us until life proves to us that we are the ones that are lost and we are the ones that need to be saved. Then the value increases. Until it does, we keep this gift in the cupboard or a closet with all the other gifts that failed to give us what we wanted. Now, we may pull this gift off the shelf and dust it off once or twice a year so that others know that we have it. But we also try to use this for purposes other than what it was designed for and what it was given for. We may use this gift to try to get what we want: political power, social reform, personal wealth, personal relationships, honor for ourselves, and the validation of our own agendas. Each of us has tried to use this gift for purposes other than what it was intended for. We learn not to do that. And we believe that we can use this gift in any way we want. We stand on podiums and declare that our God is on our side, and that the gift proves it. We claim He is a conservative. We claim He is a liberal. We claim He is order. We claim He is freedom. We claim He is law. We claim He is love. The child laying in a manger is malleable to all of our proclivities. The gift proves we're right. The gift backs our position. However, the gift itself declares that He cannot be used for such things. It says so right on the label of the gift, in bold print. John 6:38, "For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of Him who sent me." He doesn't even do His own will, let alone ours. Once we realize that this gift would not do as we demanded, that it could not be used for our purposes, it only took us a couple of days for us to go from cheers of Hosanna to jeers of crucify Him. Yet strangely, wonderfully, the gift remained, seeking us out, calling to us, knocking at our door. God is like the uncle who gave you the savings bond on Christmas. He's willing to suffer the indignity of your disappointment in Him because He knows that the gift He gave you on Christmas Day is exactly what you so desperately need. He knows that the day will come when you will want what you need. He knows there will come a time when you will let go, when you go to the pile of disregarded presents and look for it. And if you search for it with all your heart, He promises that you'll find it. When you realize that you are lost, you will cry out to the One who has been calling to you, "Find me, save me," and He will surely do what He came to do. This gift was given by our Father to find us, no matter who we were, where we were, and no matter what we were doing, and to save us from ourselves. Scripture says, "Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved." This gift is exactly what we needed. There was a time when I wanted everything but this, but now I want nothing but this. What I need has become what I want. You need to know also that this gift is returning. He is coming back. And he's bringing with him all of those he found and saved. This time, all of the wrapping will be off, and everyone will know exactly who he is and what it is he saved us from, because he explains it to us. Revelations 19:11-16. And I saw the heavens open, and behold, a white horse. And he who sat on it is called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he judges and he wages war. His eyes are a flaming fire, and on his head are many diadems. And he has his name written on him, which no one knows except himself. He is defined by no one. He is self-defining. He is clothed in a robe dipped in blood, his own. And his name is called the Word of God. The armies which are in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, are following him on white horses. You know those folks that you've loved and lost? Here they are. My mother, my father, Alma, Hertha, Alberta. They're all here. From his mouth comes a sharp sword, so that he may strike down the nations, all of those who refused and abused the gift when it came the first time. And he will rule with a rod of iron, and he will tread the winepress with the fierce wrath of God the Almighty. And on his robe and on his thigh is written the name, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. Revelations 22:12, he says, behold, I am coming soon, and my reward is with me. Never allow yourself to forget the child we celebrate tonight. He is a warrior and he is a king who has chosen to be our Savior and a friend. Because of God's great gift of grace on Christmas Day, we will ride alongside of him in triumph instead of standing in front of him in fear. As always, I ask you to pray for those who can't be home for Christmas because they're protecting us from ourselves. Pray for those of us who came home with less than they left with, those who will continue to pay the price for protecting us each and every day until Jesus calls them home and wipes away their tears. Pray for those of us who have lost someone so precious to them that the joy of this day is consumed by sadness. Pray that they find abiding peace in what is to come, the day when we are all finally and truly home for Christmas, the day when Jesus looks under his tree and finds what he has always wanted and what he has been waiting for, all of us together, forever with him. Merry Christmas, and have a blessed new year. Amen.